then I will appoint you a place to which he may flee. That appointment that's talked about here in Exodus 21 takes place in Numbers chapter 35, and you fast forward to that chapter towards the very end of the book of Numbers. And we have detail about the cities of refuge, beginning in verse 6 of Numbers 35. And then again, because of the importance of this point, Moses, in his lengthy sermon, his final sermon, which is the entire book of Deuteronomy, he gives it again in Deuteronomy chapter 19, reference of these cities of refuge. Deuteronomy 35, verse 15, we are reminded it's for the alien, the sojourner, as well as for the sons of Israel. One law given. But all of this was in anticipation of entering into the land. That was before they came to Jericho. Now they are across the Jordan. Much, though not all, of the land has been conquered. Six strategically located cities are designated as cities of refuge, so that wherever a person might be fleeing from, the distance to a city of refuge was not insurmountable. Three on the east of the Jordan River, Golan in the north, Ramoth in the center, Bezer in the south, east of the Jordan, but also three on the west, Kadesh in the far north, beyond the Sea of Galilee, Shechem, located specifically in the center, in what would become Samaria years later, and Hebron in the south. Each of these six cities were from among the 48 given to the Levites as their portion of the land. But let's think for a moment of what undoubtedly happened on numerous occasions during the hundreds of years the people dwelt within the land, and this was carried out. Let's think of an example of a scenario of death, fleeing, and pursuit. Two friends going out to work in the field or to work in the forest. And we have there an example of the one man falling because of some injury. The innocent man who did not lay in wait for his brothers, his friends, his co-workers' blood, he is instantly under suspicion and under question. And there is the law of the desert and law of nomadic times and law of the ancient world that there be an avenger of blood, that there be some near relative, a brother, a father, a son, an uncle, someone who would do the task of avenging the blood that was shed, though it might be innocent. So we have the person seeing what has taken place, them so nearby. They realize that the instrument was in their hand, but that there was no guile in their heart. There was no wickedness to hurt their friend, brother, whoever it might be. And so instantly, not going home, but instantly they strike off at a very quick pace, if possible, at a run, to move straight for the city of refuge that was nearest to them, from wherever they came from. But their head, their face was distinctly set to go to that city of refuge, because they knew that as the word would spread, there would be the avenger that would come behind them, someone who would be seeking their blood, and they needed to get within the city of refuge before the avenger caught up to them. Now think with me generally. I want to draw to your attention the place of offense. We have in the chapters that talk about the cities of refuge, we have specific mention of the cities by name, and we can find their location and within what tribe they were located, and detail that they were from the Levitical cities, the cities given to the Levites, but think about the place of offense. It could be anywhere. It could be any time. It could be during time of festival. It could be time of feasting. It could be time of harvest. It could be day. It could be night. That doesn't matter. And the place of the offense doesn't matter either. What matters is that the person instantly move without going to catch any sustenance, to grab any food or to grab any clothing or to say goodbye to their family, that they instantly go and that they seek the refuge that would protect them and that would save their very life. So many people, they become caught up with where they have offended the Lord. Oh, it was at such and such a place, and they become fixated. They become absolutely centered on the details of what took place. To God, that doesn't matter. It matters that you are seeking His refuge. And so many of the other details, people live in them and they rehearse them time and time again. How could I have been so foolish? But the time does not matter. It matters that you seek the place that God has appointed for your refuge. Now let me also draw to your attention the offender. We have no mention about who it would be, whether it would be a man or a woman, but we do have specific indication that whether it be someone out of the covenant community of the children of Israel, or whether it be an alien, that means someone not from Mars, but someone from outside of the covenant community, if it be a sojourner, someone who has just come not to reside, but simply to dwell for a certain length of time and then to return to another place, a sojourner, one law for each one. Oh, it doesn't matter who the offender is. We find here in God's plan of redemption this microcosm of the greater plan that God was effecting through His Son, through the Old Testament, through the New Testament. The offender doesn't matter. Sometimes we become caught up with saying, oh, maybe I'm excluded. Maybe I'm outside of the extent of God's grace. But God reaches out to you, my dear friend. But most especially, beyond these rather general observations, let me point you to the avenger, to the place of refuge, and to the high priest. These things are especially drawn to our attention. There is that avenger of blood, that kinsman who would be charged with the task instantly of making right the wrong and of seeking out to address the offense. An avenger is designated. He is unnamed here, but it is someone whose task it was to pursue after that one who is seeking the city of refuge and seemingly to drive them forward, but if they were caught, to avenge the blood. We also have indication here that the avenger of blood was not just tasked for a day or for a week, but if the manslayer, the one who injured and who caused the death of his co-worker or friend, if that one, when he comes to the city of refuge and dwells there for a time, if he should become careless and he leaves the seclusion, he leaves the refuge that he has found, if the avenger of blood finds him out in the field wandering, though the protest might be, hey, I'm just here for the first time, the avenger of blood had the right to slay that offender. Secondly, let me draw your attention to the place of refuge. Some might say, well, why couldn't they have had 50 or 100 or 1,000 places of refuge? You see, God here is giving us an example of how that He works in specific and appointed places. God has a desire that these people might come to a place of refuge. Oh, it was accessible. It was not far from them. It was within reach. But it was not just any old place. How we, in our thoughts, in our political correctness, we say, well, how do we know that Christianity, trusting in Christ, is any better than trusting in Buddha or in Islam or any other variety of religions? God appointed one to be the refuge for each of us, even as He appointed specific places for the people that they might find refuge and that they might be safe. Let me draw your attention to the high priest. This, of course, was a very significant and important person within the covenant community of the Old Testament. Aaron was the first high priest, the brother of Moses. But then, upon the death of Aaron, there was a constant succession over all of the generations and all of the years, a constant succession of men who would serve as high priest. But that remote person, you know, most of the people within the covenant community of Israel, the children of Israel, they didn't meet for coffee with the high priest. They had no acquaintance with him. They weren't buddies with him. They might not have even had any clue of what he looked like, whether he was short or tall, fat or skinny. No idea. But for those who offended, for those who lived within the city of refuge and were under the question, are they guilty? You see, the high priest, the one person, seemingly detached and far off, but his death meant liberty for the offender. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14, we are told that we have a great high priest. Each of the high priests through all of the centuries of the Old Testament, they were a figure of what Jesus would be, that He would be the one who would intercede on behalf of the people, but also that when that high priest came to die, it was a picture of how that the captive, that one who was confined within the gates of that fairly small city, to live there, to dwell there, that all of a sudden, the world was theirs once again, and they could go at liberty. We have a great high priest. We read this morning from the Psalms, God is our refuge and strength. In Hebrews also, chapter 6 and verse 18, we read that we who have taken refuge, the writer to the Hebrews was talking to these people about how rich they were in Christ. Some of them were thinking that they could go off and do other things. They could be better served in their spiritual inner being by not following Christ, but by going back to Judaism and going back to the ways that they had known for so long. But it's written, we who have taken refuge. You see, we take refuge in Christ. We find in Him our comfort and our peace. We who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope that is set before us. Strange when we come to the New Testament and we think of God as the one who judges us. In His holiness, He cannot abide sin in His presence. For this very reason, Satan, Lucifer, was driven out from His presence. God is the judge. You and I have offended this holy judge, and I declare to you that God is the blood avenger, that He is the one who pursues each and every man and woman in this world. Where do we go? Where do we find rest? Where do we find comfort? Where do we find protection from someone who would pursue us to the very end of the earth and from whom we cannot escape. Jonah learned that. He learned, where can I go from your presence? He thought that he could escape from God. He takes the ship off to Tarshish, but he finds that God is pursuing him in hot pursuit. God is the blood avenger, the avenger of blood who pursues each and every man and woman in this world. But strangely, God is also that city of refuge. He would want to drive us. He would want to cause us to flee to that place. Now think about it. I'm sure there were some who would say, as someone was running down the road, and someone might call to them and say, "What's your hurry?" And they might say, "I'm fleeing to the city of refuge. I'm fleeing to Bezer, or I'm fleeing to Golan. I'm going there that I might find protection." Someone might say, "Why are you going there? Don't you know what's going to happen there? You're going to be confined. Why don't you go off somewhere else? Why don't you cross the border or find your protection elsewhere?" Well, there God was providing, and that person was in effect fleeing right to God Himself. You can flee in a whole lot of directions. Jonah tried to flee. Others have tried to flee, but to no effect. God will pursue you. He is the hound of heaven. But do you fly to His refuge? God is also the refuge that we need. He is the strength. He is the protection. Some might say, "Well, why do you go to the city of refuge? You'll be a prisoner. Why do you go to Christ? You'll be His captive. You'll be His slave. He will give you all kinds of do's and don'ts." But we come to Him and we find complete and full protection. But we also find that God is the high priest, and that it is not simply the death of a human who sets us at liberty, that opens up so much to us, but that it is Jesus Christ who died on Calvary's cross. Whatever your offense is, I present to you a refuge. I present to you a confident hope that you might know peace, that you might know safety, that you might know security. There is someone who is pursuing you. There is someone who is relentlessly pursuing you. And the offender says, "This man is hot on my tracks, and I cannot shake him." The world would say, "He is my absolute, utter enemy. If I could get rid of him, I would." But to the believer who has fled to the city of refuge, and you are within the gate and you turn around and you see that it was God who was pursuing you. Yes, because there was wrath that needed to be dealt with, but also because of His love, He was driving you. He was pushing you. He was hotly pursuing you, that you might seek in Him the refuge that is only found in Him. And you dwell there. Should you ever be so foolish as to go outside of that refuge, you will find once again that the blood avenger, the avenger of blood, is there with sword in hand to drive you back. You might say, "Well, I want to tinker. I want to play in this world. There is so much." Satan sets up his camp just outside of the city of refuge, and he's got big billboards, and he's got flashing lights, and his loudspeakers cry out about all of the things that would want to entice you and to draw you out. But do not go there. Do not go there. In Christ, there is a refuge and there is safety for your soul. But then comes the death of that high priest, that great one who is our high priest. And all of a sudden, the world and more. Think of the day when the high priest dies and word starts to spread all through the villages and towns and cities, all through the hills and across the Sea of Galilee, across the Jordan. All of a sudden, the offender goes home. This past week, I've pondered the hymn of Charles Wesley, "Arise, My Soul, Arise." The second and the third verse, five bleeding wounds he bears, received on Calvary. They pour effectual prayers, they strongly plead for me. Forgive him, oh, forgive, they cry. Forgive him, oh, forgive, they cry. Nor let that ransomed sinner die. The Father hears him pray, his dear anointed one. He cannot turn away the presence of his Son. His Spirit answers to the blood. His Spirit answers to the blood and tells me, I am born of God. Dear friend, have you been born of God? Have you realized that there is a pursuer that is after you, and he is seeking you, and he will have his way? Romans tells us that the wages of sin is death. Death either to the offender or to an innocent, clean, spotless substitute. Would you come? Would you flee today? Like, I mean flee today. The people in the ancient times, they didn't go home to get a bag or a purse or anything else. They fled to Jesus. They fled to the city of refuge. What a picture of what men and women should be doing today, that they would flee, that they would quickly count the cost, and then that they would flee, that they would go straight to the refuge that we find in Christ. I invite you to come to the refuge, to the city of refuge, which is Jesus Christ himself, and find safety and find salvation. Lord,